Well, it's finally official. The Christmas season has formally begun. However, in all reality, for all practical purposes, the season began weeks ago. It certainly goes back to well before Halloween, and in some cases may even have preceded Labor Day. But let me submit that if you carefully read and precisely observe the actual text, as our hermeneutic students will be happy to point out to you, if you do so and you precisely observe the actual text of your calendar, if you thoroughly examine the surrounding context of your calendar page, you'll make an important discovery. You'll uncover a unique textual insight. Ready? It's Thanksgiving weekend. Now, following those principles of hermeneutics, now that you've observed the November date carefully, now that you've interpreted this significant calendar text accurately, you're now ready to apply it to yourself personally. So, what should this season mean to us practically? What is the point of Thanksgiving? Well, as it turns out, there are a number of reasons for this season. We have, and I love these terms, a plethora, a panoply, but being seasonal, a cornucopia of things to be thankful for. Now, if you have any questions at all about this, let me suggest the following that I came across a few years ago. Something that's well worth pondering. If you woke up this morning with more health than illness, you are far better off than the million people who will not survive this week. If you've never experienced the danger of battle, the loneliness of imprisonment, the agony of torture, or the pangs of starvation, you are miles ahead of 500 million people in the world. If you can attend a religious service such as this without fear or harassment, without fear of arrest or torture or death, you have a great privilege that is denied to 3 billion people on our planet. If you have food in your refrigerator, clothes on your back, a roof overhead, and a place for you to sleep, you are richer than 75% of this world. If you have money in the bank, or even in your wallet, or perhaps have some spare chains sitting around in a dish somewhere, you're among the top 8% of the world's wealthy. If you can hold someone's hand, if you can hug them or even touch them on the shoulder, you are very well off because you can offer a loving touch. If you hold up your head with a smile on your face and are truly thankful, you are blessed because many people can, but most do not. In other words, friends, have a good day and week. Count your blessings and thank God for how truly blessed we all are. And besides all that, he instructs you to do just that in a comprehensive command that's found in the writing of the rabbi, 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 18, in which he tells us this very simply. It's a comprehensive command that says, in everything give thanks. In everything give thanks. In other words, in all circumstances, in all situations, wherever you find yourself, or as the alternate Pew Bible translates it, no matter what happens. No matter what happens. Well, how about when my car blows its engine, or my sister loses her job, or my aunt gets a real lousy medical diagnosis, whatever it happens. In every situation? Yes, in every situation. No exceptions? The text says no exceptions. And that precisely is the point or the lesson of Kaddish in its various forms, of which we did have Kaddish tonight. The Talmudic story of Rabbi Meir goes like this, and it illustrates the point perfectly. Rabbi Meir had 2 sons. They died on Shabbat. His wife, when she told him, said this, A friend gave me jewels for safekeeping. Now she wants them back. What should I do? Rabbi answered, return the jewels, of course. She responded, the jewels are your son's. And he said, the Lord has given, and the Lord has taken. Blessed be the name of the Lord. A text found in the book of Job. Kaddish in its various forms then can be viewed as an amplification of this. It's a reminder of God's sovereignty and mercy regardless of what the circumstances might be. A reminder to be thankful. Now, interestingly, there was a survey that was done. It came out, I believe, in July of 2015, the Pew study or survey. It found that 70% of the Jewish people, and I'm quoting from the survey, feel a strong sense of gratitude every week. Feel a strong sense of gratitude every week. Interesting. It's built in, or should be, into our services, into our lives on a daily basis. Survey says 70%. How about us? We should be the same way. We're part of that community. But what if I really don't feel like it? If the situation I'm in is just too painful? Well, the text goes on to say, as the rabbi writes it for us, it's God's will for you. If it's God's will for you, that means it's good and does good for you. Oh, and by the way, notice it's a command. It's a command from God himself. So, obtrusive question. Getting into your business. Do you say thank you to God in every situation? Good, bad, indifferent. Every situation that you find yourself in. Look, it involves trust. Trust in God. A good deal of it. If you're going to do so. When circumstances don't seem to call for it. But we can count on God being in control and on him looking out for us. There's a story that was shared with me a number of years ago. It goes like this. Sandra felt as low as the heels of her Birkenstocks as she pushed against the November gust and the florist shop door. Her life had been easy, like a spring breeze. And then in the fourth month of her second pregnancy, a minor automobile accident stole her ease and her child. During this Thanksgiving week, she would have given birth to a son. She grieved deeply over her loss. If that weren't enough, her husband's company threatened to transfer. Then her sister, whose holiday visit she looked forward to, called her saying she could not come. Thought Sandra with a shudder, Thanksgiving. Thankful for what? For a careless driver whose truck was hardly scratched when he rear-ended her? For the airbag that saved her life but took that of her unborn child? Good afternoon, can I help you? The shop's clerk asked. I need an arrangement, stammered Sandra. For Thanksgiving? Do you want beautiful but ordinary, or would you like to challenge the day with a customer favorite I call the Thanksgiving special? The shop clerk continued, I'm convinced that flowers tell stories. Are you looking for something that conveys gratitude this Thanksgiving? Not exactly, Sandra blurted out. In the last 5 months, everything that could go wrong has gone wrong. Sandra regretted her outburst and was surprised when the shop clerk simply said, then I have the perfect arrangement for you. But just then the doorbell rang and the shop clerk said, hi, Barbara, let me get your order. She politely excused herself and then quickly reappeared, carrying an arrangement of greenery, bows, and long-stemmed thorny roses. Except The ends of those rose stems were neatly snipped. There were no flowers. "Want this wrapped?" asked the clerk. Sandal watched. Was this a joke? Who would want rose stems with no flowers? "Yes, please," Barbara replied with an appreciative smile. "You'd think after 3 years of getting the special, I wouldn't be so moved by its significance, but I can feel it all over again." Stammered Sandra, the lady just left with, she just left with no flowers? "Right," said the clerk. "I cut off the flowers. That's the special. I call it the Thanksgiving Thorns Bouquet." "Oh, come on, you can't tell me that someone is willing to pay for that," exclaimed Sandra. "Barbara came into the shop 3 years ago, feeling much like you today," explained the clerk. "She thought she had very little to be thankful for. She had lost her father to cancer, her son was into drugs, and she was facing minor surgery. The same year, I had lost my husband," continued the clerk. "And for the first time in my life, I had just spent the holidays alone. I had no children, no husband, no family nearby, and too great a debt to allow any travel." "So what did you do?" asked Sandra. "I learned to be thankful for thorns," answered the clerk quietly. "I've always thanked God for good things in life and never thought to ask him why those good things happened to me. But when bad stuff hit, boy, did I ever ask questions. It took time for me to learn that dark times are important. I've always enjoyed the flowers of life, but it took the thorns to show me the beauty of God's comfort." Sandra sucked in her breath. "I guess the truth is I don't want comfort. I've lost a baby, and I'm angry with God. I don't know if I can be thankful for the thorns in my life," Sandra said to the clerk. "It's all too fresh." "Well," the clerk replied carefully, "my experience has shown me that thorns make roses more precious. We treasure God's providential care more during trouble than at any other time. Remember, it was a crown of thorns that Jesus wore so that we might know his love. Don't resent the thorns." The tears rolled down Sandra's cheeks. For the first time since the accident, she loosened her grip on resentment. "I'll take those 12 long-stemmed thorns, please," she managed to choke out. "I hoped you would," said the clerk gently. "I'll have them ready in a minute." "Thank you. What do I owe you?" "Nothing. Nothing but a promise to allow God to heal your heart. The first year's arrangement is always on me." The clerk smiled, handed a card to Sandra. "I'll attach this card to your arrangement, but maybe you would like to read it first." Comes from an author by the name of George Matheson. It reads, or read, "My God, I've never thanked you for my thorns. I've thanked you 1,000 times for my roses, but never once for my thorns. Teach me the value of the grief I bear. Teach me the value of my thorns. Show me that I have climbed closer to you along the path of pain. Show me that my tears have made my rainbow." End quote. Interestingly, for whatever reason, as I was driving in this afternoon, what was there to greet me but a rainbow? The story concludes, "Praise him for your roses, but thank him for your thorns." And God's care is expressed in that fashion is exactly what Yeshua reminds us of so graphically in Matthew 6 and in Matthew 7. You know the story. You know what he said. But let me remind you. He said, "Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? See how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today, and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from the will of your Father. And even the very hairs of your head are numbered. Now, for people like me, that's not difficult. But for others, you understand. Even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are worth far more than many sparrows. And remember, too, the promises that we focused on in the past so many times. The promise from the burning bush that God delivered to Moses by the means of what his name means. I am the God who will go with you wherever and whenever you go. Or as the Torah itself concluded just a few weeks ago as we read it in Deuteronomy 31. Be courageous. Don't be afraid. I will not leave you nor abandon you. I will go with you. Or Rashi's comment on it. In helping us understand God's name is this. God says, I will go with you in the suffering and in the trials, in the tribulation, in the persecution. I will go with you into the exile. So you can count on God being in control and on him looking out for you and being there with you, which is why Shimon HaShliach, the author of Neshamat Kol Chai, could remind us in his first letter, 1 Peter 5:7. So throw all your burdens on him because he cares for you. And when you do that, you may just see things as never before, things you might otherwise miss. The man whispered, God, speak to me. And a meadowlark sang, but the man did not hear. So the man yelled, God, speak to me. And the thunder rolled across the sky, but the man did not listen. The man looked around and pleaded, God, just let me see you. And a star shone brightly, but the man did not notice. Then the man shouted, God, show me a miracle. And a life was born, but the man did not know. So the man cried out in despair, touch me, God, and just let me know you are here. So God reached down and touched the man, but the man just brushed the butterfly away and walked on, oblivious. Don't miss out on a blessing because it isn't packaged the way you expect. Now, this definitely involves trust. And that it involves a great deal of trust is also reinforced by an exhaustive expectation that the rabbi wrote about in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 20. You see, as difficult as it may be, we can often bring ourselves to thank God in each situation we encounter. We can, with some effort, usually find something good somewhere, somehow, in the situation. You see, there always seems to be something you can be thankful about. For example, that you're not part of a family whose grandfather died very peacefully in his sleep, not screaming like all the passengers in his car. But our text clearly says, always thanking God for everything. Always. That means without exception. Not sometimes, but at all times. Even when we can't find good in it? Yes, even then. And it says, for everything. That implies all things. Even for bad things, for distasteful things? Yes, that means not grumbling when things go wrong or your life doesn't come up to your expectations. Not complaining when circumstances or situations aren't the way you want them. And this one's especially for me. Not mumbling about traffic. Or when the driver cuts you off unexpectedly. Or the computer when it fouls up. Not criticizing when people hurt you. Or you think they have. Or when they don't live up to your wishes and desires, either rightly or wrongly. Also, no pouting. and feeling sorry for ourselves. Because that stands in contrast, actually contradicts the previous verse, Ephesians 5:19. Always singing with a melody in your heart. Reminds me of one of our kids' favorite songs from many years ago by the singer Rafi. There's a song in my heart. Impossible! Not quite, but almost. There are two keys, however. Ephesians 5:18 is one of the keys. Be filled always with the Spirit of God. In other words, what the text is saying is being ruled by and relying on the Ruach Hashem, the Spirit of God. And I'll unwrap that sometime in the future. I do plan on eventually sharing with you on a series in the book of Ephesians from which that comes. It involves being saturated by the Spirit and by the Scriptures, as the rabbi says. May the Word or the words of the Messiah fill you fully. Romans 8:28, the rabbi also gives us what is a proper perspective. He says, I've lost the text in my mind. All things happen for good. Or God actually, the text says literally, God causes all things to work out for the good of those who love him. That's the perspective we need to have. That needs to be our regular realization. Because remember what Yeshua said in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 6 and 7. Remember the sparrows, the birds of the air, the lilies of the field. So, do you grumble or complain about things or about people? Or do you thank God for everything, even if you don't see any good in it at all? It's Thanksgiving. We should be doing that, but we should be doing it on a daily basis anyhow. Look, I understand it involves trust, but let me suggest it not only involves trust, it intensifies trust to say thank you. If you're in a situation that really doesn't seem to call for a thank you, and you choose to say thank you, you are expressing your trust in God, and guess what happens? It encourages you to do the same thing the next time. It involves trust and it intensifies trust to say thank you. In other words, it's a commitment to count on and to be content with God. Again, the words of the rabbi, Philippians 4:12 this time. He says, I've learned to be content in all things because he's the one who provides me with the strength. It'll change your life and your perspective, undoubtedly. Another story for you. A water bearer in India had two large pots. Each hung on the end of a pole just balanced across his shoulders. One of the pots had a crack in it, and while the other pot was perfect and always delivered an amount of water at the end of the long walk from the stream to the house, the cracked pot always arrived half empty. Now, this continued for a couple of years, with the tired man arriving home short of water. And while the perfect pot was proud, the cracked pot was ashamed because it wasn't able to accomplish what it was created for. Finally, the leaking pot spoke to the water bearer one day by the stream. I'm ashamed of myself, and I want to apologize to you. Why? Asked the gentleman. What are you ashamed of? I've been able these past 2 years to deliver only half my load since this crack in my side causes the water to leak out all the way back to the house. Because of me, you do all of this work, but you've never gotten the full benefit of your efforts. The water bearer felt sorry for the old cracked pot, and he said, as we return to my house, I want you to notice the beautiful flowers along the path. And so as they went up the hill, the faulty pot did notice the beautiful wild flowers on one side of the path. When they arrived at the house, the man asked, did you notice that there were flowers only on your side of the path, but not on the other pot's side? That's because I've always known your flaw, and I put it to good use. So I planted flower seeds on your side of the path, and every day as we walk back from the stream, you water them. For 2 years, I've been able to pick those beautiful flowers. Without you, being just the way you are, there would have been so much less beauty in my life. Thank you, my friend. And my friends, each of us has our own unique flaws. And one way or other, we're all cracked pots. But in God's great plan, nothing goes to waste. So thank God. Look for and enjoy the flowers growing along your path, even if the great water bearer has not yet shown them to you. It's Thanksgiving. 1 Chronicles 16 reminds us. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love and his kindness go on forever, at all times and in all circumstances, whatever kind of pots we may be. So what are we going to do? How are we going to respond? Take the next minute or so to begin that response in quiet.